Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127games.com.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network that discusses historical and New England gaming. This is episode 108, that's right, 108, con industry guest do's and don'ts with guest Jay Libby, co-owner of Dilly Green Bean Games. So, if you're like me and you've ever gone to a convention, you've seen those hallowed, honored industry guests there, and you've seen attendees go up and make fools out of themselves, and other attendees just seem to really hit it off, and you've stood there and thought, whoa. So if you've ever really wanted to learn ways that you can stand a little bit taller when it comes to those industry guests to get them to notice you or to make sure that you don't make a fool out of yourself, because I know you would never do that, but just to make sure that you don't, this is the episode for you because we have all sorts of tips and tricks and info for you and also the same kind of tips and tricks and info for others who happen to be industry guests to make yourself a little more exciting and palatable to the attendees who come to these incredible conventions. Now, I can't give you this information because I've never been anything other than an attendee, but I am very lucky because today we have a very special guest. Mr. Jay Libby, who is co-owner of the Dilly Green Bean Games, is also an industry guest at all sorts of conventions here and there, but most notably for me and for others here in Eastern Massachusetts, he is an industry guest at TotalCon, which I've been hyping up a lot lately. So, Jay, I want to welcome you to this episode. How are you?
Hey, doing good, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've been looking forward to this episode for a while, partly because you're just a joy to talk to, but because the more I go to these conventions, the more I want to make sure that I don't make a fool out of myself.
I don't know, Jonathan. It depends on what type of day you're having.
So you've been on both sides of the aisle. You go to conventions as just a guy looking to be a gamer and have some fun. But then you've also been one of those people who get mentioned as, oh, we have a very special featured guest. And then they flash your name up on the marquee in, you know, neon red and blue. So when you are an industry guest and you see this horde of people coming in, these gamers, these attendees, what kind of things do you look for to make sure that they don't make a fool out of themselves or to make sure that they stand apart from the crowd?
Well, it's important to remember as an industry guest that you're there on business. I mean, as you make games, you work for a publisher or you own your own company, but you're there representing a company, you're representing something. And you need to do it in a professional way, but in an approachable way and keep those things in mind. And remember that by going to conventions, you're getting out there and being seen, but you also need to remember that you're probably going to take a financial hit by doing it, and you need to put it into your, kind of like it's a marketing budget thing. It's, all right, I have to spend this much to go to this convention, and we might not make it back in sales, but it's getting us seen. It's getting us, you know, getting us noticed. A big thing as an industry guest is to not have an attitude towards the fans. And I mean, there are all sorts of fan types out there. There's the devotee grog that, you know, is a ruled Nazi from hell. There's a kid who's never played a game before that's just looking for a chance to play. You know, there are the people that, you know, game every weekend. There are people that, you know, have never, adults that have never gamed before that are kind of looking for something new. And you really want to create an environment that makes them all included. You know, and there are clicky environments within any convention. And I see it frequently, but I've learned to mingle that blood when I run any event that I do. It's also important to keep in mind that the convention is a business. They're there to, you know, promote games and promote the hobby, but they still need to make their money. You still need to draw people in. And so kind of like as an industry guest, it's a business transaction with another business, and it's a mutual partnership to guarantee that they get business and you get business. So it's also important to be, you know, to get to know the people that run the convention, and not just, you know, the head of the convention, but all the people that work under them as well. right down to the people that run the green rooms. If you're not going in there and giving them a smile and thanking them for what they do, you know, it's not good for morale, and it makes you look like a total douche.
Well, one thing I've noticed, and I have to say up front that I haven't gone to tons of conventions. I'm not like a convention junkie, but I've gone to a few. I've gone to Huzzah up in Maine and Havoc out in Shrewsbury, Mass, and TotalCon, of course, and I've been to Anime Boston and a few others that don't come to mind. And of course, each type of conventions is different, not just because of what its theme is or the type of gamer or attendee that it attracts, but also because of the size of it. So if you're looking at something like Havoc, which is a really, really small convention, almost more of like a game day, game weekend kind of thing. And then if you're trying to compare that to, say, something like PAX East or Anime Boston or Gen Con, it very different experience on what the attendees could probably experience and what they should expect, and also for the industry guests. So like when I go to TotalCon, it's a much more approachable atmosphere, and I think part of that is because the industry guests and the con staff have worked really hard to make it so that anyone who's just going to TotalCon to play in a game or to attend a panel or anything, that they feel free to approach the guests and to approach the staff to talk about whatever. And I think that the con has done a good job of really enticing guests who are going to be good industry guests in that way, whereas if you go into a larger con, you may not be able to do that as much. So for me, there's always been those kind of differences which influence what cons I want to attend, but I'm sure there have to be some kind of like universal truths, so to speak.
Yeah, it's interesting because the first convention I ever went to, I think, was PortCon here in Maine. And I was a complete nobody. It was Icon in Long Island. And I was a complete nobody, but I knew James Carpio from Gygax Magazine and Chapter 13 Press. I knew Peter Bryant, a.k.a. Blix, from Mythwits in Studio 187. And through knowing them, you know, we did Icon. And Icon was like one of those holy crap experiences. It was huge. It was gigantic. I was not ready for it. And we did it again. I still wasn't ready, but we went to like PortCon, that's local for me. And whereas an industry guest at Icon was treated really well, PortCon had no clue what a gaming industry guest was. They were just looking for names to throw on a booklet to say, hey, look who we have, but they didn't know how to treat us. And of course, back then I was a nobody. I didn't expect very much from them, and it was a really crappy experience and I never went back. But then I went to conventions like OGC and they treated us pretty decently. And then we did TotalCon, and it was a little rough at the first year we went, and then it got better. But then again, my standing in the industry had increased, which was, flattering, because I don't consider myself like an industry house name, because I'm really not. But people keep telling me I am. So I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. But we went to the last Icon we went to. Was one of those experiences where I learned my lesson from all the conventions I'd been to. And I was like, you know, there's a way to do this. And, you know, I was out on the floor with Dave Simpson from, Nighthawk Games, and he and this other guy, I think his name was Dave as well. They were running like the game room, and they kept asking me why was I in there running games? I'm like, well, it's like, I'm an industry guest. Shouldn't I be running games? Like, oh no, industry guests aren't required to run games. They just do panels at the convention. But I was doing both. I was literally running from one end of the campus to the other with my wife. And she's like, this campus is huge. It's like, and you're running back and forth. It's like, because A, I'm an industry guest. Yeah, I got to do the panels and stuff because people like to hear about the industry and game design and where you get your ideas from. But at the same time, I own a company and I want to be with my fans. And I own a small company. My fan base is not gigantic. I want to be with my fans. I want to give them something. I want to give them the experience they'll walk away from and talk about. In my G.I. Joe games I ran using the Fusion system from R. Telsorian, you know, people still talk about, especially from Icon. And it's spawned jokes, kind of like the goat jokes we have now for TotalCon. And then when I went to TotalCon and think, you know, the second time around, things improved, and I brought books with me, and I brought, you know, and then we brought James Carpio with us. And the more industry guests you get from, like, James Carpio, you know, Blix, myself, and Dave Simpson are part of a small group of publishers called Indie RPG. And we love our fans, and we'll do anything for our fans. Not to the point where we will whore ourselves out, but we treat our fans with respect because they spend money on our products. And it's just a learning experience. So you want to be on the ground with your troops, but at the same time, you want to be, you know, still have that pedestal to sit on. And as I like to refer to it, pretend to be famous, because that's pretty much what it feels like. It's like, I'm pretending to be. And it's funny because I mean, you get name recognition for stuff, and my God, now it's like you say Jay Libby and I hear it. It's the goat guy. It's the guy who did, you know, World War Sheep, or the guy who heckles Tim Kask all the time. And it's like pretty much, yeah. Or I do G-Core, which is like, you know, people like, oh, okay. You know, and even with that, it's like, you know, I run different levels of games when I go to like TotalCon. In the morning on Saturday, I like to run kids games. Why? Cause kids are the future of gaming. So the games I design, you know, now are much more kid approachable, where a kid can sit down and play. Like the new Mech 10 Zero that's coming out, that is very kid approachable. It's very easy to sit down and play. I ran a Gundam demo using Mech 10 Zero at SnowCon up in Bangor a few weeks back, and a kid came to the table and he picked it up right away. There was like no lag time between him learning the mechanics and playing. So I think it's valuable to understand how each convention type works. Big conventions usually have panels. You're running around a lot. Pretty much dope up on vitamin C, stay hydrated, and go, 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 and meet your fans with a smile, shake lots of hands, and talk to people who aren't your fans. You know, people who are like, oh, I effing hate that dude. I always make it a point that if I see someone, you know, that I recognize from online that's trashed on me, I will make it a point to go up and talk with them. Because what's the worst they're going to do? They're going to knock me out, or they're going to tell me to go F myself. You know, but you're still going out there. And I have found by doing that with some of my anti-fan base that I've made, you know, friends and fans out of that. And then at smaller conventions, you run games pretty much all day, and, you know, you always make sure you welcome new people, and you do it with a smile. So
one of the things for some of the listeners anyway, because we have a surprisingly global audience. A lot of people listen from Australia and England and Canada and throughout Europe in particular, is that there's a big difference from what I understand between how conventions are run here in the U.S. and throughout North America, but predominantly the U.S., and how they're run in, say, England and Europe, for example, where they're maybe more of a trade show as opposed to a convention, but they're like a one-day event. In games, from what I understand, that are run there, they're not so much how we run games, because over there, you're lucky to find a convention or trade show where there's what they would call a participation game, that any games there are companies that are trying to promote a new product, and instead of you or me as a con or trade show attendee participating in it, it's the people who own or work for the company who play the game to show you how it works, or in other words, it's more like a demo. So I've often kind of wondered, like, when they have their conventions and trade shows over there, how much kind of crossover there is for industry guests who do panels and that sort of stuff. Because it seems like a lot of what we would have here as a panel is more focused into that one-on-one kind of interaction around a company's table where they're shown off a game, or if you're lucky to get into a participation game. There's a game company overseas called Two Fat Lardies, which is hugely popular. The people who run it routinely engage in what I would consider kind of like a panel discussion, but it happens right there at their table as they're trying to sell their stuff. You can walk up to them, and you, as just a person who came to this convention, to this trade show, are able to participate in that kind of way. Whereas here in the U.S., something like that, it happens definitely at the, like you said, like at the smaller cons, but I don't see anyone going to, say, like Comic-Con and hanging out with Stan Lee at a Marvel booth that's selling whatever Marvel properties. And it's not because, in my mind, I don't think he's like, oh, I don't want to do that. I think it's because, you know, he's Stan Lee and it's a gigantic convention. If he did that, he would never leave because he would just be so swamped.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. A person you might want to ask about that sometimes is Tim Kask. You could ask him next weekend because he did a convention in England. And he'd probably have a better opinion about, you know, how they do things. You know, it's kind of like Origins, or not Origins, Gen Con is like a trade show like that where, you know, they have a lot of vendors that do demos. I know that Icon, when we went there, they had a vendor room that was basically a giant gymnasium, and a lot of companies, you know, they all pitched, like, game designers will pitch in and get a table, and they run demos right from the table. And then the actual gaming section of the convention was in a whole other building. I like both styles. I kind of like having a table where I can run events or run demos and stuff. We tried that at TotalCon 1 year, and it just didn't work. And that was at no fault of the convention. It was just, it's a learning curve. You gotta have to experiment to see what works and what doesn't. I found that by running, like, you know, eye-catching events. So like running G-Core, I can't just run like a Guardian Universe setting game because no one knows what it is. But if I say, you know, if I'm running G-Core Marvel Comics fan event, then people come to the table, want to know what the system is and get into it. Or if I'm running Mechton Zero, Mechton pretty much sells itself, but when you add Gundam to it, you draw in people that might not have ever heard of Mechton, which the irony is the Japanese Gundam mecha game that they had out was actually Mechton converted into Japanese. So it's really just, it's an experiment. Getting a feel for the convention. Usually your first year is not a guaranteed, you know, success unless you've done tons of conventions and you already know, like, what you need to do.
Like I said, I'm a relative newcomer to just going to conventions, but as an attendee, there's certain behavior, I guess, is probably the best way to describe it, that I look for both in industry guests and in other attendees. And it my expectations are very, very low, really, when it comes to it. And partly because, like I said, I haven't gone to as many, and maybe if I went to thousands and thousands of conventions, I would have more stringent things on what I would hope to get out of going to a convention. But generally speaking, the first thing I look for, regardless of size of convention, regardless of whether the people are industry guests that I'm coming across or other attendees, is I'm looking for some sort of friendliness. And like you said, like at a larger convention, you can't really have where the industry guests are spending tons of time one-on-one or even in a small group setting with other people who are coming to the con, whether it's to play games or just to, like at Comic-Con, just to kind of attend or whatever. But that smile, that, you know, nod, the happiness is really what kind of exudes. And it has to be natural because not everyone's happy all the time. And honestly, I'm a little suspicious of people who are always like, oh, everything's wonderful all the time, even as, like, the world is falling apart around them. But, like, that real, I'm interested in you and what you have to say and why you're here, and I'm appreciative that you took the time to come. So I look for that both in other people who are attending, but also in the industry guests. And of course, in a smaller convention, something like TotalCon, I get excited, but don't expect it, but I get excited when, especially after going repeatedly, or even if you go just once, but you spend a lot of time by attending panels or playing games with industry guests, if they happen to remember you, and they may not remember your name, but just kind of recognize your face, and that might just mean that they smile at you or wave as you're walking down the hall, or maybe you think that meant they remembered you, but they're just like, hey, look, it's cool people, and they're like, hey, what up? That's something that I find very welcoming, because it's all about that atmosphere of trying to say, hey, we're all part of this community of like-minded and interested people. You don't want to push people away. So if a guest is kind of standoffish and seems disinterested or bored, I feel like, hey, then why are you here? By the same token, for attendees, this is going to sound really odd, but I know it's been covered by other podcasts and it's been covered at some of the conventions I've attended, that one of the most important things for people who go to conventions, and I know it's hard because you pay big money to go to a convention, you have to book the hotel, and you want to put as much stuff as possible into that short span of time. But for me, it's really important that people manage to maintain their personal hygiene, because like, you're going to spend who knows how much time playing the game with someone or sitting next to someone in a hall listening to a panel or finding out about stuff. And really, I understand that other attendees want to get in as much as possible, but so do I. I want to get my money worth, too, and I'd like to have a pleasant experience where I don't have to worry about other people not keeping themselves up as much. And that also goes not just, you know, making sure you bathe or whatever, but, like, making sure you take time out to eat, because I don't want to have to be right next to someone who's fainting and trying to figure out, like, oh, what can I do to make sure that this person doesn't get deathly ill? I want to make sure that everyone's healthy and happy and having a good time. So if other attendees aren't taking care of themselves, it kind of diminishes the experience for me. And I would say those two are, just for me as an attendee, two big do/don'ts that I kind of am on the lookout for. And thankfully, I haven't really experienced any sort of issues where attendees haven't taken the time to deal with personal hygiene.
You have been lucky, dude. First year at TotalCon, this dude came to our table, played a couple of our games. We actually asked the convention not to let him back at any of our events again. Didn't bathe, didn't sleep, kept falling asleep at the table, argued when he was awake, and it was just like, it was one of the things that sparked the paragraph in all my books now that says, if you do not bathe and you do not have good hygiene, do not play my game. Because it was like, dude, really? And then the thing is, look, personal hygiene at a convention, it's not just about you, it's not just about other people, it's also a health issue as well. If you're not washing your hands, if you're not keeping yourself, you know, basically sterile as much as you can, you get con crud, you know, shaking hands, going to the bathroom and not washing your hands afterwards. You know, if you got a hotel room, the hotel room has a shower, the hotels provide soap, you know, wash up, change your clothes, change your freaking underwear, change your socks. I mean, if you ever notice, like, Blix goes to the convention, and he and his whole crew got cologne on, and they look stylish, and they're always clean, and it's like, yep, and they're great company because they never smell bad, except for when Mike Cass has been drinking. That's a whole nother story. But you really need to think about the people around you. I mean, even I've seen industry guests that let themselves go to crap at the conventions, and it's like, come on, man. It's like, you represent a company. Yeah, we're with like-minded people, our fans, and not, you know, gamers and stuff. We all like to game. We all have the same passion. It's like, but, like, freaking lead by example. You know, nobody should ever have to be nasty. So.
By no means am I anywhere near to being an industry guest. I'm as, you know, far down the pole as you can get.
Dude, if you say that one more time, I'm personally going to beat the living crap out of you at TotalCon, and I'll do it in public, and I'll make you wear the Borat bathing suit. Cut it out, man.
No, I mean, it's true. I go, I'm an attendee, and for some reason at TotalCon, they've decided to give me a press pass. But that aside, I run, and when I say I can't take all the credit. There's a great group of guys and I, who together have run events at TotalCon in particular the past few years, and hopefully we'll spread out and do some other conventions too. But just as running an event, as being a GM or part of a group of GMs, I've kind of been able to peer behind the current corner of what it might be like for industry guests who have to deal with people running games. And I know there's tons of people who run games at all these different conventions. But for me, like you said, the importance of sanitation, the games that I help to run, they're miniatures games, historical miniatures in particular. So people are touching a lot of things. They're touching models, they're touching dice, they're touching everything, you, whatever. And one of the wonderful things is that we provide all that stuff, because no one who goes to a convention wants to drag hundreds of little lead and metal toy soldiers so they can go play in a game.
Yeah.
So naturally, we want to provide all that stuff, and we understand things are going to happen because, you know, it's an event and just stuff happens when people play stuff. But, you know, like, we play with that stuff too, and there are kids who play with the stuff, and the importance of trying to make sure that, like, don't go sneezing on people or like coughing on someone's minis, because next thing you know, your buddy's picking it up, and then who knows what they bring and where. Last year at TotalCon, I made it was so much fun, but I made the mistake of, on the Friday night of staying up really, really late networking with a listener of the show. And it was a blast, but I think I didn't go to bed until 4 or 5 in the morning after being up all day, after being at all sorts of things going on and hanging out late at night to go to the GM social and all that kind of stuff. And then I had to be up for 9 o'clock in the morning because I wanted to go be supportive at a panel for some people who are going to be on the panel. I felt like crap that day. I probably got some sort of, minor cold or something just because I didn't get enough sleep and touching all those door handles and everything. And, you know, I dragged myself out of bed at who knows what time, showered and so forth and went to the thing. But the whole day, I was just kind of off, and I felt like I let people down because that day when I was just really off, I was meeting someone who's a small business owner about a product that they were pushing and they wanted to show to me, and then had an event that I was running with these guys. And like by then I was better, but even with tons of caffeine, I wasn't right. And you have to make sure that you do all the stuff you want to do, but don't push your limits too much. And I think that's not just for attendees, but also for industry guests. Because, yeah, in my mind, the organizers of whatever convention, they want to get the biggest bang for their buck. Because, like you said, it's a business for them, and it's a business for you and other industry guests. But you want to make sure that you have time for what you want to do and time for your obligations without running yourself ragged. Because then any events or things that you are doing, if you're not at your best, you're not providing a good experience for not only yourself, but for all the people who paid who knows how much to go to these things to see you.
Yeah. It was funny because Peter and Blix and I were talking about this today, this afternoon, actually, while I was working on a special project for Tim Kask that I cannot wait to put on his lap at TotalCon. I'm still getting, like, shivers thinking about it.
You are so giddy.
Yeah, it's going to be freaking hilarious.
Is it a goat? It's a goat.
No. I have Mr. Goat that I'm bringing to the convention that Ben gave me, Ben Gerber. But Blix and I were talking about it today because, you know, everyone, you know, ribs me about taking naps at conventions. Like, oh, you should be go. But while I'm very energized when I'm talking with people and I'm out and about, you know, my body has a limit and I have to be very careful to make sure I get rest, because if I don't, I can't concentrate. You know, a couple of health issues that impact me when I get tired. And in fact, there's a picture I put online that I almost didn't put online showing the results of fatigue that I get. But we, squirrel in my wall. That's hilarious. Sorry. but I was talking about, oh, never mind that sleet bouncing off the windows. Wow. Sleeting up here. I apologize for that delay. All right. So, I was talking about needing naps and stuff, and for me it's important. That's why, like, at TotalCon, you'll see me disappear for a little bit. Usually it's to either go get lunch with my wife or whatever, because I bring her to the conventions with me, because she's kind of like my mellow point. There are times when I just need to go rest, where I need to snuggle up with my wife and take a nap and have that comfort. So when I wake up, I'm fresh, I'm revitalized, and I can go run events. That's why, like, you know, the cocktail hours are crazy on Saturday night, because I've taken a nap before we do the cocktail hour, or I've taken a nap before the adults only game. Because for me, rest is important. I was talking to Mike Pondsmith over the weekend, and you were talking about, like, how he was asking how the hell I crank out so much material. And a lot of people, I think that's what a lot of people talk about with me, is the, how do I crank out as much as I do? And it boils down to the whole, you know, I have a routine. I get 8 hours sleep. I get up in the morning. I, like, eat a muffin, and I, you know, drink a V8, and then I power type till noon. And I was talking to Blix about this, and it's just, but I'm rested. And so when I go to conventions, I need to be able to do the same thing. The idea of staying up late at a convention, getting up early, I made those mistakes. My games I ran sucked. It's like I didn't have fun. Barely anybody showed up to the morning games, and it was just horrible. So it's a process. It's a process. For other people, hey, when you're younger, have fun with that. I'm getting almost to 40, and I'm now getting smart about time management at conventions. And everything I do at a convention has to be 110%, because you got to make your fan base happy, but you have to make the attendees, needs to be contagious. Needs to spread as the happier your group is, They're going to spread it to other people, and it's called emotional contagion for those of you who go to college.
I think I learned my lesson last year at TotalCon that I'm not as young as I once thought I was. And not that I'm old, although I feel it, but not that I'm older. I mean, I'm 32 now. In last year at TotalCon, I was 31. By no means am I pulling out a walker or anything, but just staying up to 4 a.m. and then getting up so early the next morning, I got maybe a couple hours of sleep. I was like, oh my, wow, I can't do that anymore. I'm not, you know, 20, whatever. I'm not in my teens. It was hard. So, like, now this time for TotalCon, and I know we've been talking a lot about TotalCon in particular, partly because, depending on when people are listening to this episode, it's coming very soon. It's the 20th to 23rd of February, 2014. And partly because I'm running an event and you're running, you know, everything and all sorts of stuff. So, really want to promote that. But it's true for any con, really, that you do need to take your breaks. And I made sure that this time around, when I sent my mail in pre-reg for the con, that there's these huge blocks where I don't have anything planned. And that's so if I want to go wander around the vendor room, I can do that. If I want to go hide in my room, I can go hide in my room, take a nap, or, you know, just sit there, watch some TV, whatever. Because as much fun as it is for me to be in there with everyone and to see all the stuff that's going on and participate in everything, it's really nice to have some quiet time because there's a lot that happens and it can be overwhelming to have so much of it going on all the time. And I kind of feel that when I go to a convention or I go to any sort of event, whether it's a game day or whatever, that part of my job is not only to be there and to have fun and do cool things because, I mean, if I'm not having fun, then why the heck am I going? But also because I usually cover it for the show. So I kind of think of it, although it's not officially a business, but that it's kind of like a business arrangement where I have to make sure that I go and get enough material and content so that I can talk about it on the show and use it to inspire me to do other things that relate to the show. And if I'm not getting that content and those experiences, then I feel like I'm letting the listeners down. So I always try to make sure that I get good stuff. And one of the cool things about TotalCon is that I do get a hotel room, although it's close enough, I probably wouldn't need to, that I could just drive back and forth, but that I get the hotel room, and part of that is so I have a place to record, because last year I made the decision that I was going to try really, really hard anyway, to do a recording of what happened each day, what I did, what I didn't do, what I liked, and so forth, and last year's recording was interesting because I had imbibed in alcoholic beverages at different points, and I really hesitated about releasing it because I was like, oh, you know, when I record a normal episode, especially when I have a guest on like you, but I try to make sure that I'm alert and that there's nothing that can cause me to mess up more because I need all the help I can get to sound as good as I can sound, and the last thing I want is to be drunk on air and sending that message out to everyone that, oh, go do whatever, be drunk and stuff. Cause one, I don't believe in that. And two, it doesn't create good audio. So I was really hesitant, but at the same time, I was like, you know what? This was my experience this time around. And I really wanted to provide an honest and unfiltered view for people. Cause not everyone can go to these conventions. And I think a lot of people live vicariously through hearing stories from guests like yourself or people who attend like me. Stories that maybe we put on podcasts or blogs or through social media. And by that way, I think they can see the photos and feel like, you know, maybe I wasn't able to afford to go, but they can feel like they lived part of it. There's a convention up in Portland that's going to be coming up in Maine that I absolutely love. It's HuzzaCon. It's a great historical convention. Money's just not there this year, so I won't be able to make it. But I know that I'll be able to appreciate all the photos and the status updates and everything that people put on all sorts of social media because of that. So it's one of those things that I happen to look for.
Well, it's too bad my kid wasn't going off to college sooner because I think you could just come up and stay with me then since my guest room would be open. I can't wait. It's horrible.
Yeah, it is. But you're joking. So it's okay.
It's interesting about the, you know, you were talking about like getting rest and so I guess we shouldn't show the pictures of you running in your boxers around in the snowstorm last year from TotalCon after Blix slipped you plenty of alcohol in that Coke he gave you. But
I was so appreciative that there was less snow last year than there was the year before. Because the year before, driving down was so treacherous. And again, didn't have far to go. Matter of like half an hour, 45 minutes to get there. But the 2012 was a rough year to get to the con and to get home. 2013 was golden. Got there and then it started to snow. And it was great.
Yeah, it snowed for us on the way down, but we stayed at a hooker hotel and hung out with the pimp and his employee for a little bit.
Of course you did.
Yeah, it was great because it was like the hooker hotel. The state police had like units parked at this place. There were state police up on the hill. It was the coolest thing ever. I'm like, wow. I was like, okay, I parked next to like one of the state police crime scene unit SUV. I'm like, we'll park here. And checked in at like midnight. We left work. I'm like, oh, let's just go leave now and stay at a hooker hotel. And it was fun. And then we ended up at TotalCon, which of course is the true destination. But back to the planning thing, you know, I was talking, you know, Greg and I were going back and forth with James Carpio about not being ready for the convention yet, because I find that every convention that we do now, it's like, if I run an event, I want it to be like in depth. I want it to be immersive. And especially if you're running games, like I run my adults only game this year is my Chronicle 00 Book One, which is kind of like a cyberpunk biopunk game. And Doug Poirier from RPG Bomb, and I think he's part of another publishing company now. They just did, Canopic Jars, like a collection of stories. He called this game like the most immersive RPG he had ever played. So he puts that out, that statement about the game out. Every game that I run now has to be immersive. It has to be like you're there playing. So it's like producing an actual product that you're bringing to the convention so the players can have it. And it has to be new and fresh. It can't be, unlike Gundam that I'm running, I'll run the same scenario I ran at SnowCon. Book One has to be a much more immersive piece and to deliver that constant thing. And it's turning to the point now where I write stuff for convention games and I could turn around and sell them right afterwards because they're that quality. Artwork, production, layout, it's usually all there. So, but yeah. What's next?
Well, before you move on, do you have, say, like one big do or don't for con attendees and one big do or don't for other industry guests?
For industry guests, always remember that, yes, the customer is always right, but keep in mind that you're always going to have douchebags at the table that are just there to cause you grief. My biggest suggestion for industry guests is if the convention's giving you a industry guest status, when you're at the convention, you're not just representing your company, you're representing the convention itself, which means you need to be worth the money that the convention soaks into you. And you need to make sure that not only do they make that money back, but they make more than that money back. That's why, like, you know, when I do conventions, especially like TotalCon, I go freaking crazy with stuff. I balance it out, but I'm like, I'll participate. I'll get involved in stuff. I'll ask them if they need help and, you know, kind of do sidestep stuff as well to kind of, you know, do things here and there. I try to bring industry people with me, basically to, you know, keep the momentum going. Because, you know, if they're going to like give me, you know, a day pass or whatever for a convention, then if that's a $35 day pass, then I want to make sure that I at least have, you know, 10 people playing in one game or 10 people playing maybe between two games or whatever. But that way the convention is making their money. If I have, you know, I used to do conventions with like two players at my table way back in the day. And that was just like, why am I here? Because I'm not doing this convention any good. Now I try to limit my games to 5 people per game because 10 people at a convention at a table, it's hard to manage when you run a role playing game, as my adults only games turn out frequently. But part of that's because Blix is a total drunk when he's playing my games late at night. I'm just kidding. Blix does not have an alcohol issue. Oh. I don't think.
The poor guy's not even here to defend himself. Jeez.
He can defend himself later. But I've
Well, you know what? I completely agree with you because, and I'm going to say it again, so, and this means you're going to beat the crap out of me when you see me at TotalCon, but I am not an industry guest, but although I'm not, they're very kind to me and very nice, so I always try to make sure that I do as much as I can, which is limited, but as much as I can to really promote the convention and to try to get as many people to go as possible. So the first year that my buddies and I ran an event, Court and Adrian, who I've mentioned on the show numerous times for people who've listened for a while, are the two who've been with me the longest to help me run events. And then Adam is helping for this year. But the first year, we ran an event, and I was really worried about making sure that people would plan it because I'm thinking, oh, you know, we're putting all this time and effort into it. So, of course, we wanted to do well to get some return, so to speak, for the time we're putting into it. Not that we're making any money off of it, but just to make sure that people are having a good time. But also, we're taking up space at the convention that maybe a more worthwhile event could be taking up. And Minis events take up a lot of space, and we take up a lot of space. So that first year, there was, I think, one person who pre-registered for our event. And then next thing you know, just by being there and seeing people and me trying to wrangle some people, next thing you know, sold out. And it was great. And then the second year, 2013, when we were there, it was interesting because we apparently had almost sold out our game. We had one or two slots left. A kid who had played the year before saw me floating around. He recognized my face and happened to remember me from the year before. And so he wanted to play in the game. And all the people who had pre-registered, which we were really excited about that we had all these people pre-registered, they never made it to the convention, or they left early because of the snow. And they lived in northern New England, so they had to get back home before the snow came. So even though we didn't have as many people in the event, and we still ran it, of course, because we had this kid and whoever, some other people had come, so we wanted to make sure we provided a fun time for them. It was great to know that people either just really liked that we were doing an event or had remembered us from the year before, but that we were a draw enough so that people were pre-registering. And now for 2014, I was really, really excited because I found out that we're sold out. We were looking for a minimum of 2 people and a maximum of 6. And lo and behold, we have 6 people who are ready to play, and a bunch of people who are playing are trying to get their friends to play. And I'm trying to tell them there's no more room. I'm sorry, but unless someone cancels, we can't fit anyone else in. And so there's the 4 of us who are going to be running this event and 6 people who are playing. And I just know from people who live in the area who listen to this show that they've come to look forward to the events, even if they don't play in it, but just to see what's going on and to pop by. And so I'm not a draw, but I try to do my part just between that and promoting it, of course, through the social media and here on the show. Like, leading up to TotalCon, every episode I try to mention TotalCon. I try to have stuff in the show notes. It's on our blog. It's everywhere because they're so kind to us. But I want to make sure, like you said, that I'm repaying the kindness, not just in turn, but that I'm doubling it or tripling it or doing everything I humanly can do to make sure that people try to go and are aware of it. It's not always easy, but for me, it's totally worth it, and I would much rather that they make out much better in the deal than I do.
Yeah, this year, I kind of felt bad this year because they scheduled a bunch of panels in the afternoon, and panels are almost like I refer to as scapegoating out of having to run games at conventions. And panels, sometimes they do well, sometimes they don't. I skated out, and I actually canceled an afternoon game on Saturday because the way this year's been working, like convention-wise and other stuff going on outside of the industry and into the industry, I've been like so busy that it's like having to do like multiple convention game prep. It was sucking up my time. I mean, even now I'm at 0 hour and I was laid up in bed for 3 days with TempleCon crud. And it was just like, holy crap, I don't have time for this. It's like I'm teaching at the college and I'm trying to do some convention prep. And I was thinking, this is probably good a thing I didn't schedule tons of stuff. You know, Friday afternoon, like the Gundam event I scheduled, I actually might run a double event if more people want to play. That way everyone can get to play. Because I kind of left Friday afternoon open. And then of course, you know, Friday morning we're doing the charity cribbage match with Tim Kask, which is going to be a blast. But I still feel bad because it's like, you know, TotalCon treats me really nice, and I want to like run tons of stuff and get tons of people to play and continue to demonstrate my worth. And then I looked through the schedule. I'm like, wow, I really skated out of running games this time, as many games as I normally would, but I'm doing all these panels, and it's like, but for me, panels are nice, but I like to be in there with the, like playing, you know, running games with the kids or running games with the adults. And it's like, I usually run two Marvel segments. That way I have one for little kids and one for teenagers. And I was going to do it this year, and I just dumped one of them completely and then, you know, moved on to the panels instead. And then the adults only game, because I like to run one game where you can sit around the table and be like, I'm going to effing bomb like an F-bomb sailor, matey. And, it was just effing wonderful. And I love to effing swear with all my effing adult friends. And
I can tell.
It's an effing beautiful experience. And
it must
unfortunately
be hard for you being on the show, because there's like three things that don't make it on the show: religion, politics, and swearing.
Yeah, you know, I do pretty well with this show. I haven't sworn. Or if I have, it hasn't been that bad. I mean, even in my classrooms, it's hard because, like, I was a sailor. It's like I have this sailor mouth and, like, biting my tongue. It's like I just want to, like, drop the F-bomb. Like, at conventions, it's, you know, you obviously you're representing a business. So you tend to be a little bit more professional. Even, like, I work for Artel Store and Games as well. And, you know, last weekend we were at TempleCon, and it was neat because I got to hang out with Mike Pondsmith. You know, and he and I are friends. And then it's like, and so he's doing business and I'm kind of standing there watching him and stuff. And like, and he's introducing me. He's like, oh yeah, this is my good friend, Jay Libby. And I'm like, it's like, this is freaky, man. Like, you know, Mike Ponce was calling me his good friend, and we've been friends for a while. I mean, and it's weird because I worked for him, but we ended up becoming close friends when he started teaching, because we ended up becoming teaching friends, ironically enough, teaching friends, which, you know, sealed the deal on our friendship. And, but then he referred to me as a media consultant the other day. But it was interesting to kind of watch, like, how he handles the convention, you know, the convention thing. He does it with a smile. And of course, here I am, you know, talking to the underlings of the people he's doing business with. And I'm not cussing, and I don't even feel the need to cuss. And so I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just certain people make me want to cuss. Maybe it's because I just want to look at him and be like, you need to effing pull your pants up, you slacker. So,
oh, I think people behave a little differently in different environments, like how you behave, say, with family or like one's parents are different than maybe how you behave with like a bunch of guys just kind of hanging out. So I think there's that transition that happens. And speaking of people with whom you hang out, listeners may not be aware, but every year I try to do a list of the most popular episodes of the year. And for 2013, it was really interesting because there were a lot of episodes that were really close. And of course, most of these episodes, and just looking at my list, I would say all except for all of them actually, all had a guest of some type on them. So one of the things that I had done, I kind of threw down the gauntlet for you and for a bunch of other people who were in tight races to see how motivated you could make your fan bases to see if you could climb some rankings. So you were lucky enough by the end of it, and I would say deservedly so, to have made it into the top 10. And I think you took the number 8 spot. You had like 900 and, I don't know, almost 1,000 downloads, I think it was. But you and a bunch of people for TotalCon were really going neck and neck. There was you, and there was Peter Bryant and Ben Gerber, and Angela, TotalCon's promotional director, was in the running for a while. And just to see you guys go back and forth and use social media to really try to get as many people as possible to go and download the episodes, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I have a message for Angela, by the way. Word. Oh, I beat you, sucker.
Oh, my God. Part of what was going on with everything was that you had said if you made it in the top 10, you were going to be doing a dance or singing at TotalCon.
It was a top 5, but it totally flopped.
Well, see, I don't remember this top 5 business. I remember
it
top
was top
10.
No, I said top 5. I do a musical number at TotalCon.
Okay, because I was pretty sure that others would back me up that it was top 10 that you're supposed to be doing this
musical number. Yeah, no offense, Angelia will back you up because I beat her out, but not by much.
Wait,
she almost got me, but that's one reason why she backed
you. To make you sing and dance at the con, because then there's Ben, and then there's Licks, like all of us. We can't.
You're gonna take it from Ben Gerber. Okay, that's Ben.
We can't all be remembering incorrectly. I swear that you had said this, and I will be very disappointed.
These are the same people that said I was going to wear a Borat costume if I lost at Cube of Death, which, by the way, I didn't lose, so... Yeah, I beat out a team, and I didn't have to wear the Borat costume.
Yeah, because, see, I was there. I happened to be one of those teams that you trounced.
Yeah, you know, and the sucky thing is, it's like, the first year we did Cube of Death, you know, we beat out, you know, Tim Cass' team, and I felt bad because... You know, Tim's like, I don't want to play because you guys just want a notch on your belt. And here I am like, no, Tim, it'd be really fun. I thought it'd be a fun game. And then here I am advocating for Tim to play. And then I beat him and I'm like, I feel like such a jerk. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's not cool. And so the next year we lost to his Gygax team, which was good. I felt better because Michael Curtis, who by the way is a magnificent brain when it comes to writing games. Writing book supplements for games and stuff. His team beat us, and I felt good about that. I was like, because it kind of felt like, you know, they made up for us beating Tim. But all these stupid ideas, people are like, oh yeah, look, I'll do crazy stuff at the convention. It's going to happen at the stuff that's going to happen at the charity cribbage match. Pay $5 to get in. I'm doing Wounded Warriors if I win. Tim Kask is doing a charity for inner city kids to go fishing or whatever. That he picked this pretty good. And I guarantee some crazy stuff's going to go down there. For musical numbers, it was the top five. I almost called you Ryan. It was the top five, Jonathan. So,
I think you're full of it is what it is. I'm throwing down the gauntlet.
You know what? If you keep it up, we're going to have some very revealing pictures of you by the end of TotalCon.
Of course, so. It's easy for me to say all this because I'm many hundreds of miles away from you sitting behind a microphone, but. I swear, you said you were going to do a musical number. But.
Dude, you're only an hour and a half from where I live. I will find you.
Whatever.
Even in the storm, actually. I'm saying, I'm going to hunt you down, and I'm going to pin you to the wall like a little froggy. Yes!
I'm just going to remember forever that you're welching on this. But that's okay, because, do you know what? You're a pretty cool guy anyway, so it's fine, really.
I'm cool. What does that stand for? Some over constipated loser or something, as my daughter puts it.
Oh God. So before we migrate to listener mail, because I got a pretty cool piece of listener mail that I want to share with everyone, and I think you might have some cool input on it. Are there any things you want to promote about upcoming conventions? Maybe you're going to, or products you're putting out, or ways for people to keep in touch with you to find out what's going on with you?
Oh sure. Let's see. Products coming out. We announced that we're doing G-Core Prime, which is a new core, like a new edition of G-Core. The character generation is completely different than it used to be. Those who have seen it said it's probably one of the coolest things they've seen yet for a superhero game. So hopefully that will make my competition shake a little bit. Not likely. I'm doing Chronicle 00, the series, which is going to be a bunch of, PDF releases set up like television episodes where they're basically one shots. You can play with your friends at night. Characters already provided and everything. Those are pretty neat. Still working on Guardian Universe Revival. Kind of had that put that back on the burner for G-Core Prime to come out. Let's see what else. The Xandoria Explorers box set, which is the tribute RPG for Phantasy Star. Still working on that. Get put on hold because the new semester for school picked up and I have lots of students, more than I have had in a very long time. And then of course, Mechton Zero, which, that's from Artel Saurian Games. Mike Ponsmith's working on that. I'm handling the Kickstarter Q&As and I'm running the Facebook page for it. So it's pretty crazy. Nothing immediate though. I'm just like, I've got mega projects that are all like in the works much more. And as for conventions, there's a convention coming up, and I can't remember what it's called. There's a fiery redheaded chick that basically handles me being there, Oh yeah, that's Angela who I beat at the competition.
You're never gonna let that go.
No, I can't pick on her. Angela is the sweetest person. TotalCon, they're great to us. I can't stress that enough. It's like the convention that I go to now where it's not like I'm not stressed out about, I've got to do this. I just go in and I just do my thing. And I schmooze with everybody. Even the people that don't like me are nice to me. And then the people who don't like me, that really don't like me, just avoid me now. Don't even say hi to me. So, which is good because I don't have time for negativity when I'm at TotalCon. I'm there to rock and roll. And, you know, when I go, we have fun. And, if you're actually going to be there Saturday night and you're going to actually come to the cocktail hour, that'd be a good idea. So, and lots of cool stuff happening at TotalCon this year. Blix is going to be there doing his thing. Like I said, I've got the Libby Cask charity cribbage match where Tim Cask is going to kick my butt at cribbage, but he won't hear this podcast anyway, so he'll never even know I said that. So I can continue to taunt him. And then Friday afternoon, I'll be running Gundam Mechton Zero. So if you like Gundam and you like Mechton, you should be there playing. And then after that, Saturday morning, Marvel with the kids, and then panels all day, and then Saturday night, Chronicle 00, Book 1, There's No Place Like Home, where players get to play hackers that have accidentally brushed across the wrong file in a corporate server. So.
Sounds pretty cool.
Got lots of political intrigue, lots of murder, lots of stuff that make you think twice about plugging into the web. All right, I'm done.
So let's back up a sec. You're inviting all of my listeners to come to a special cocktail hour?
Oh, no. You, Jonathan, may come to the cocktail
hour. Oh, me? Okay. And of course,
for all those listeners out there that want to know about this famous Daily Green Bean Games cocktail hour, we've had famous guests like the crew from Eden Studios, Mike Pondsmith, Jared Sorensen showed up to one, James Carpio, Aaron Rosenberg, Jess Hartley has come to him before, Tim Cask, Frank Menzer, God, I feel like I'm missing people. Ben Gerber.
I think one of the most important things you're forgetting is that your cocktail hour shares something in common with the famous movie Fight Club, in that what happens at cocktail hour stays at cocktail hour.
That's right. So every little weird thing you hear from any of those guests that ever come to our cocktail hours, especially after a convention, usually is something that was said at the cocktail hour that spawned from that. And also, something that spawned from Cocktail Hour that I can talk about publicly, it's a new Facebook page, Goat in Galoshes.
I saw that.
Like that page, actually can thank Ben Gerber and Tim Cask for this. I have Mr. Goat that Ben Gerber gave me. It's a little plastic goat, and I'm now taking it to conventions with me when I travel, and when I come across famous people, I'm having them have their picture taken with Mr. Goat, and the picture goes up on Goat in Galoshes, the Facebook page. We actually got the guy who wrote Eclipse Phase now has his picture on that page with Mr. Goat. And Nick Palmer has a picture almost kissing Mr. Goat. And Mike Pondsmith with Mr. Goat, along with Raymond Rappaport, who is, holy cow, he's like the con person he travels around and works for a company that produces, I think, Guillotine Games. That's who he works for. It's amazing. It's a fun thing. Jonathan, you'll have your picture up there after TotalCon. So, Goat in Galoshes. Check it out on Facebook.
Someone shared that page with me, and immediately I knew it had to be something you created. And when I introduced you for this episode, I was torn between introducing you the way I did or introducing you as, like, Jay, the Goat Man Libby. But I figured that might be a little too crazy because not everyone knows your whole love affair with goats, and it's
we're going to be printing up the belt match poster for Tim Cask and Cask versus Libby, and it's two sheep and a goat with a nuclear trigger in its mouth, and then it says Cask versus Libby, like in a classic boxer belt poster. So we'll be auctioning that off at the cribbage match as well. I mean, the Goat and Galoshes thing is freaking hilarious. It's ended up in one of my games. It's actually in, I think it's like a chapter cover for Chronicle 00 Book 1. So the Goat Galoshes Facebook page, it was time it came. You can't not have it. I can't explain it, but it's a pretty neat thing. So, and the fact that, you know, we got Mike Pondsmith to embrace it was great. The guy from Eclipse Phase, the fact he did it for us, and Nick Palmer, they were great guys. So I think it'll be something that will grow over time. So,
well, for all the listeners, once I have my photo taken with Mr. Goat, you can bet that the picture will also appear on our Facebook page and on our blog. So you'll be able to see Mr. Goat and whatever Jay makes me do with Mr. Goat. So, yeah, be sure to check that out. And also, I want to give another plug to your game, Mechton Zero, because I signed up for it.
It's not my game. It's Artel Saurians.
But the game you are running.
Okay.
And I have a very limited experience with the universe of Gundam in which it's based and kind of lives in the way you're running it. But what for me really excites me about it is, one, that it involves models, minis, and two, that you're running it. So I don't know if there's space left in your game, but if there is, I really want to encourage people to play in it, and I hopefully have gotten into the game, and if not, we'll find a way to squeeze myself into it, because I'm really looking forward to playing it. So
I will run another section of Gundam Mechton Zero if enough people are interested. So if for some reason you can't sign up for it, if it's too full or whatever, especially because I only have so many minis and so many characters for you to use, I will run another section. So it's set for 2 hours. If I have to, I'll go four. But I will do that because it's that cool of a game, and people need to start playing it. So, and the game's not out yet, but hey, you know, gotta get the word out.
Well, this is everyone's chance to play in a game run by you, and maybe to play a game with me. So I think that deserves two thumbs up from my end. Now I want to move into listener mail. I've always talked about how much I love communicating with listeners of the show, and in fact, it's my favorite part of podcasting. Get all sorts of cool emails and Facebook messages and stuff from people. But I got one piece of listener mail recently about the last episode that came out right before this one, Jay. It was titled Turn Your Girlfriend Into a Gamer. I had a special guest, Aaron Boston, who came on to share how he got his wife into tabletop gaming. So we shared all sorts of different ways of successes, mainly that he's had, and failures that I've had dealing with that. But one of the listeners, John, had written in to kind of just talk about it a little bit. So he says, great show on girlfriends and wives in gaming. One thing to also consider is to not have a wife be a gamer. Having separate activities that each can enjoy and not be tied to the spouse is a blessing also. I know we can blow off steam and just, quote, hang with the guys when the spouse isn't around. And she's doing the same. That doesn't mean we denigrate each other's hobbies, but sometimes the gaming connection isn't there. Don't be afraid to not force it if it isn't. A couple of friends have gone that route, and it just ends up being a sore spot later. Keep up the casting. So, John, I want to thank you, first of all, for writing in and using our contact form, which is a great way to get in touch with us. You want to head on over to the blog, wargamingforums.com. And if you go to wargamingforums.com/WR108 for this episode, you'll be able to leave a comment directly on this episode about what happened here with Jay and I, but you can use the contact form as well that's on the site. What do you think about it, Jay? I think he's onto something.
Well, you know what? I used to think so, but I don't know. It's nice if your girlfriend or your wife at least understands gaming and will game with you once in a while. We used to, back when I was a bachelor, my friends, we'd have our girlfriends game with us. And there was a couple incidents where, my friend Chris Thiel, his girlfriend at the time, looked like she was going to grab a pair of scissors and stab me in the throat, because I messed up a mechanic in the game I was running. And then the next time she played, she couldn't do what she had been doing, and she pretty much was going to kill me. But you know what? I find my marriage is happy because when I want to game with my wife and my kids, we do. And if I want to game with my guy friends, I game with my guy friends. It's finding balance. I'll tell you right now, and I've seen this happen, where if you separate your hobbies and stuff, and you do one thing and your spouse does something else, and you don't take interest in it, you can kill your marriage. True happiness, you know, the whole hero's journey bit is happy at work, happy at home. I find it fun gaming with my wife. She cheats at whatever game we play, and I don't know how she does it, and I don't know how she rolls so well, and it really drives me up the wall. Or when we play zombies and she is drawing, dropping cards that totally wreck the game for everybody else, or when we're playing, King of Tokyo and she's kicking our butts and she's sitting there smiling and being all happy, and even though she doesn't know how to play, it's still satisfying knowing that it makes her happy that she's kicking our butts. So, I don't know. And not to mention, my wife is cute. I want her at the table playing games with me. Gives me something to look at.
Well, I think you hit on something really good there about balance, because not every game is for every gamer or potential gamer. And it's good to have that time together and that time apart. I remember there was a study done ages ago, Dr. Constance Steinkuller. She's over at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, although right now I think she's on hiatus because she's working for President Obama in, something science, Office of Science and Technology, something like that. But anyway.
Can I say something rude, or do I have to not?
No, I think you got to keep it to yourself. Okay. So she had actually told me about this study that was done ages ago, because she studies massively multiplayer online games and how people interact and like the culture with them and all that kind of stuff. So she had mentioned that there was this study done, and of course I can't remember where, and for that I apologize, but that in this study they kind of looked at relationships of people, whether they're boyfriend-girlfriend or boyfriend-boyfriend, girlfriend-girlfriend, or husband and wife and so forth, and how that's impacted by people playing games, focusing of course on MMOs, but also how the relationship impacts the game too, not just the game impacting the relationship. And they found that the best relationship that they've seen for this correlation is that if both significant others happen to be playing a game, and the game they were looking at was World of Warcraft, but that for it to have that strong connectiveness and happiness, they had to be playing the same game, which was World of Warcraft, but they had to play on different servers and with different guilds and with different people. They couldn't play the game together. And that they found if they were playing together as part of that same guild, that group of people playing or on the same server, that the happiness and everything was worse than if they did not play the game together at all, if they weren't playing the same game. So I thought that was really interesting to show that, at least in this one case as the study had found, that having that shared interest is good as long as you can have it so you can talk about it, but you're not, in it all the time, so that you do have that separateness that's going on. But that if you're that too much togetherness can be bad. And my parents have always told me, it's good to be together, but sometimes there's such a thing as too much together, and a little bit of having different interests is not only healthy, but really useful. So finding that balance, as you said, I think it's key.
That's why I like it when my wife goes to work. It's the only time I get something done. As horrible as it sounds, it's like the kids go to school, my wife goes to work, and that's why I get to produce so much stuff, because it's like, but when she comes home, I just want to spend time with her. That's why I take her to conventions with me. It's like I don't want to be gone for a week, and I barely see her during the week. It's like, anytime I have, I want to have it with her. So now when I do conventions, I'm not in an urge to leave, because it's like, no, my wife's here with me. I don't have any need to rush around. It's like, just I can do my thing at the convention, and every now and then she'll play games with us. But I think she played one game, and one of the guys that we no longer allow playing in our games at conventions pretty much ruined her convention gaming experience. So someday we might get her to game with us again, but she's just kind of like, I don't know. She'll game with like James Carpio and Mary Lindholm in a heartbeat. And even Blix, but it's just, she's a little bit edgier on that, so.
Well, I would encourage listeners who haven't yet listened to it to go back and listen to episode 107, Turn Your Girlfriend into a Gamer, with guest Aaron Boston, because he's had a lot of success with it, and I shared some of my failures, and he had some failures to begin with, but I think it was a really interesting topic to discuss, because I feel like there's a lot of us who would really hope to be able to make that transition happen with the significant others in our lives. So I also want to talk about, as we wind the episode down, some things that are new to the show here for 2014. We have a cool new thing on our blog on our website. It's an episode plan. Previously, if you were listening to the show, you never really knew what was going to come up next. You just kind of had to wait for the episode to come out and or hope that I had talked about it or a guest had talked about what was coming up previously. But now I decided I was going to do things a little differently. So I'm trying to plan out the episodes in advance, which is how I was able to let people know, Jay, about you coming on now. So I'm delighted to let people know that, of course, this episode, since you're already listening to it, it came out on February 17th, 2014, but that the episode after that, that comes out on March 3rd, 2014, will be the live recording that I do at TotalCon. So it'll be whatever I happen to record while I'm out and about at the con, and anything that I record when I'm get a chance to kind of have a little downtime in the hotel room and do a recording there. But then also we have two other great episodes coming up after that. On March 17th, yes, St. Paddy's Day, have episode 110, guest Peter Bryan, who we've been talking about and Jay's been knocking a little bit, good-naturedly though, of course, is going to be coming on to talk about his new show, Mythwits, which is a really interesting new video podcast that, well, live video podcast, but then it's audio after the fact. And then continuing the theme of gaming conventions, I'm really excited to say that episode 111 that comes out on March 30th is going to have very special guest Dean Emerson. Dean is a member of the Maine Historical Wargamers Association, and he's also an organizer for them for Huzzah. So we're going to talk about HuzzahCon 2014, and you'll be able to hear that on March 30th. And on top of all that, I came to a realization the other day, Jay. A lot of people listen to the show by going to our blog, wargamingforums.com, and in this case, they would go to wargamingforums.com/WR108 to hear this episode. But not many people seem to be using iTunes to subscribe, and I know not everyone's a fan of Apple, which is fine, but iTunes is the largest depository of podcasts. It's a number one way that people seem to find podcasts. So if you happen to like what we do here at Wargaming Recon, I would really appreciate if you would take the time to go onto iTunes and give us a rating, because if you give us a rating, whatever you happen to feel that we deserve, that'll help get the word out so that other people who pop into iTunes will see that we have ratings, which means people listen to us. Right now, we have no ratings. And since iTunes is so popular for people to find other podcasts, the more that you rate, the more likely other people will listen to the show and more likely other people will rate the show. And of course, if you really love what we do here, the easiest way to get the show is to subscribe to it in iTunes. It doesn't cost you anything. The episodes will just appear automatically on whatever device that you use. So that way you will be able to get all the new content as it comes out. You won't have to think about it. And then you can just listen to it. And as you listen to it, new episodes, of course, will continue to come out. And Jay, don't you wish there was something like that for all the products and games that you make, that just as they come out, it just automatically appears for people to get?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I don't know how it would work for like a PDF or anything like that, but for a podcast, it is gold.
It is.
Anyone who's able to make that chance to subscribe, it's great. I listen to a handful of other podcasts, and the way I do it is I subscribe to them. I listen to them, of course, through iTunes because of that, but then I use some other apps that let me listen to them on the go. Pocket Casts is actually a great app for anyone who listens to podcasts on mobile devices, whether it's like an iPhone or an Android phone or a tablet or anything like that, really. And you're able to just get into it. I think they have a light version for free. Otherwise, it's $1.99 in the iOS store. And you can subscribe to whatever podcast you like that way, and then they just show up. So I use that a lot, actually, to subscribe on my iPhone so I can get all sorts of cool new content that comes up from other podcasts. But I'm hoping people will take the time to do that. And, of course, if you guys liked this episode and if you have some comments
Hold up. You missed one part of the episode that we were supposed to cover. So I'm going to do this in a one-minute spread here. It's hints the guideline for people who are attending conventions to play games, because we talked about the industry people. We didn't talk about the fans themselves. And a recommendation for fans that go to conventions, how do you approach industry guests? Just remember, we're working really hard for you. sometimes we're tired and stuff. You know, give us a little bit of slack. But most of us are more than willing to sit down and talk with you. You know, catch us in the hallways and stuff. Don't be shy, because you know the first step is always the hardest one, and that's coming up to us and you know and making contact. So, and then have fun. You're there at a convention to have fun. But don't be disruptive to other people and be considerate of them as well. So,
I want to echo that, Jay, because people might be surprised to know that I really am a shy introvert. Once I get comfortable with you, I'm going to open up and I'll joke and so forth. And it's great because doing the show, I'm able to sit here, be behind a microphone and talk to anyone and feel safe in my little, you know, bubble. But going to a convention, it's another thing entirely. But I can tell from firsthand experience that as a con attendee, wonderful things can happen if you break out of that shell and you take the time to just go up to that industry guest and say hi. Because my very first year at TotalCon, and I know I've told the story maybe a few times before, so I will bore you again once more with this. But I happened to be sitting in the audience of a panel, and I think, Jay, that you were on the panel, and there was a lot of people, actually. It was about being an indie game designer, if I recall correctly. And at the end of the panel, I went up to one guest in particular, Mr. Ben Gerber, and I was hesitant because I was like, oh, I'm shy, and you know, oh, these people are like the rock stars here, and I don't want to bother them. But for whatever reason, I got up the guts and courage to go up to the table afterwards, and I basically was like, hi, Ben, that was really cool, and I'm here at the con, and thanks, bye. And I like sped out because that was all I could deal with at the time. But lo and behold, he happened to have posted something on his website, Troll in the Corner, which I had remembered from talking about it at the panel. And I sent him an email, and I referenced how I was like, hey, how are you? And goodbye. And because of that, a lot of wonderful things have happened. With him, I've helped to co-found the Troll in the Corner podcast network, which Wargaming Recon is a part of. He's been on the show. You've been on the show, had Peter Bryant, just like all sorts of people, and all these connections and the network and the avenues have opened up. And I trace it all back to that time when I took a chance and decided, okay, I'm not going to let my shyness really rule me. I'm going to overcome that and take a chance and say hi. And so I'm not saying for listeners and con attendees that you two will create your own podcast network, but maybe something really cool and good could happen, could result from you taking the chance to go up to a industry guest and say, hi, how are you? I really like what you're doing, and I'm so-and-so, and just thank you for your time.
Yeah, I mean, it's important, too. I mean, if you don't take those first steps, you don't take the chances. Like Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey is I've created a dumbed-down version of Hero's Journey to explain to my students, but I prefer the dumbed-down journey. The idea of you take a step, but you have to take that first step before any adventure can happen. And you as gamers and you as listeners and stuff, you know, if you don't take the chance, then you never will know what the adventure is like. And life is about the adventure. So even if it's, you know, ice skating for the first time or going to a convention and meeting a writer or going to a book signing and you were seeing a celebrity at the mall, you know, and granted, like when people are out and about doing their normal stuff, you know, they might not want to be bugged if they're eating or something, but you know, sometimes they don't mind and you kind of really have to judge it. I mean, there are some people out there that are, and there's some people out there that don't care. I think you'll find that the industry people at TotalCon are totally like, no pun intended, like, please come hang out with us, you know, talk with us. You know, we're here for you. I mean, and a lot of the industry people I hang out with are like that, and that's the reason why I do hang out with them. And Jonathan, I mean, you're like, you know, when I met you, I was like, it's like, oh, cool. It's like, you know, come, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll talk with you. And, you know, Ben Gerber was the same way. It's like, I met you guys and it's like, wow, it's like the McKenzie brothers. It's like, this is so cool. Yeah, I just called you Canadians that drink beer, but that's okay.
I won't hold it against you.
But, yeah, Ben Gerber. Oh God. I like Ben a lot. I definitely, he's quite the nice guy, and he's very approachable too. I mean, so, but you guys, fans, you gotta get out there. You talk about the conventions, talk about the podcasts, get people to listen, and then play the games too. If you're not sure about a game, you know, talk to the designer. I know when I want to try a new game or something, I have James Carpio run it for me because he knows everything. At least I think he does. He probably knows more than I do. So I have him run games for me, or, you know, I ask questions, you know, to different people about like, well, how do you play this game? So, I mean, that's how I ended up playing, I think, Savage Worlds once was, you know, James ran it for me. I was like, wow, that's a really neat game. And I'm a designer, but I like to play games too. Not, you know, I love playing the games I design because obviously I designed them so that way I can have fun with them as well. But I also enjoy playing other games that people put out. So
I think if I could probably boil down everything that you and I have said in this episode to get it to its most base elements, would say that regardless of whether you're an industry guest or an attendee or a gamer just going to a con, that should really try your hardest to make sure that you're friendly, that you have a good time, and that you put yourself out there to try something new.
Amen.
For anyone who happens to be going to TotalCon, which is February 20th to the 23rd, 2014, TotalCon 28 in Mansfield, Massachusetts, you'll be able to see Jay in all his glory doing all sorts of cool things, and I will be there as well, so you can be on the lookout for me. I will be the heavyset guy wearing a Wargaming Recon t-shirt, so you can see us and chat and just all sorts of cool stuff and have a lot of fun. So I want to take the moment to thank, of course, all of you listeners for letting us occupy some of your time. And Jay, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show. It's your second time around, and I don't know, maybe we can make it another occurrence down the road.
I will gladly come on the show and tell you plenty of stories and talk about whatever topic you want. Thank you to the fans, and thank you for having me.
So if you liked this episode, or if you didn't even, if you just want to send a message and chat, we love getting feedback here at Wargaming Recon. It's one of the things that I love the most. So you can, of course, leave a comment on our show notes, wargamingforums.com/WR108. And you can just leave a remark about anything about this episode or another episode or a convention you've gone to, maybe a good experience you had or maybe a bad one. And who knows, if you send a little listener feedback, a little listener mail my way, maybe like John, you will get yours read on the podcast and have your moment in the spotlight, as it were, for you and all the others who listen to the show. And don't forget, you can find out what's happening in upcoming episodes on our episode guide, again, on our blog. And then take a moment or two to go onto iTunes to rate us, to subscribe. And of course, don't forget that on our show notes, we have all sorts of stuff, including ways to get in touch with Mr. Jay Libby and see all the cool things that he's working on. So that way you can stay abreast of all the cool new games and his new and amazing endeavors. So thank you again, everyone. And until next time, I think that's a wrap. So just thank you again one more time, Jay, and all of the wonderful listeners. Until next time, you know the deal. You have to. You need to. You gotta keep on gaming. And that's a wrap.
Yay. Awesome.
ManBattleStations.com is an online community devoted to naval wargaming. They are running a model ship painting contest. Prize money in the form of gift certificates will be awarded for the most popularly painted ships. Check out the rules and deadline for submissions at manbattlestations.com. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
If you heard it and you do like it, good. If you don't like it, what I'm supposed to do.